Hey, I want to say what's up to everybody. It's CC Dove, Charles Carson, the Truth Pandemic Podcast. We got episode number 4. We got the intro to a 3-part series that's called Defenders of the Faith. And there's a reason why I chose to do this in 3 parts. One is because I think it's vitally important for people to understand what that means in reference to God and his son, Jesus Christ, versus this idea of religion. That's number one. Number two, I have to admit, I'm at a point right now where I'm ready to stand up front and center. And I'm going to start challenging some of the things that are out here, some of the things that are being said, that have been said historically, that have been said in the modern, and even as recent as this past 2 years of chaos and mayhem that we've all had to deal with concerning race and, you know, viruses and who's to blame for this, who's to blame for that, who's responsible, you know, tear down this statue, do this, do that. I think it's interesting how people bring in God when it's convenient for their little, their awareness or their march or their protest or whatever it might be. But yet they don't bring in God for the rest of their lives. So I decided to do this because I've been getting a lot of feedback from people, you know, a lot of questions coming in. I've been asked questions all my life about God and my, you know, the things that I've recovered from. So some people might say, well, what gives you the, you know, what makes you credible in this, or what gives you the kind of the right to speak on this? And let's just start it off like this. Here's why. Because I was abused as a child. I was exposed to sexual things as a child. I starved as a child. I lived on the streets as a preteen. I was locked up in juvenile detention as a preteen and a teenager. I, just like millions of others, was raised in a single parent home. I'm an African American mixed kid. My mom was white. She raised children of color. I heard the word nigger. I heard the words cracker, wetback, chink. Okay? I unfortunately got hooked on drugs. And I'm not talking about just weed. Bad drugs. It's documented. I've struggled as a parent. I've struggled to stay clean and sober now for 33 years. I've been in the darkness a lot in my life. I've been depressed. I've been suicidal. I've watched my children struggle in ways that I struggled as a child and as a teenager. I've lost people that have died. I've lost people to AIDS, to murder. So, what gives me the right? First of all, because I'm human. Second of all, because I'm willing to testify to all these things for the sake of others. I'm going to start off the main part of this podcast by, again, sharing some of my writing. Again, I plan to introduce songs and writings during my podcast that are always relative to the subject matter, with the hope that through my writing, through my podcast, through the way I live my life, that people can see new ways of approaching issues, approaching family issues, or even personal issues in your life. And that's it. I don't do this because I want a thumbs up, a thumbs down, an emoji, or anything like that. I do it because it needs to be done. This is called the Truth Pandemic. And I believe that the truth is everything that we're willing to speak that has happened and that is happening. And we avoid all the rhetoric and we get down to business so that we can make change. This is a piece called Darkness Falls. at what point does it all fall apart? When does it start? And what kills the spark that makes the heart grow dark? Blacker than coal, all that you know spins out of control. You become numb and cold. And the window to your soul is smashed beyond repair. Then you fall into the demon's lair. Fantasy becomes real. Nightmares are born in the minds of the unhuman kind, the scorned. Those torn, those warned not to touch the flame. But their faith is replaced by the curse of Cain. What remains is insane, the result of sin. They are fathers, mothers, brothers, sisters, and friends. Lost souls on the course to force their own will, some kill, showing no remorse. Driven only by the lust and the things they crave, to the master of the darkness they become a slave. Murderers, pedophiles, unholy and wild, evil beasts unleashed to destroy and defile. They creep, they crawl, they seek us all, and they will until the day that darkness falls. Some love, some hate, some give, some take. Some have a heart, some have no heart at all. Some kill, some save, some free, some slave. Some live for love, some have no love at all. Those who do shall find the truth when love takes all, the day that darkness falls. What sleeps in the shadows? What lies in wait? What things do we fear? Why are we unsafe? If there's no such thing as monsters, why are we scared? Let your children play alone? You wouldn't dare. What hides in the closet is not a mystery. I can guarantee it looks like you and me. Who is the enemy? Could they be alien? No. They are fathers, mothers, brothers, sisters, and friends. Lost souls, no shame or regret. Parasites, and for life, have lost all respect. On the weak they prey, on the children that play. As you bleed, they feed, for they breed decay. Terrorists, rapists, unclean, untamed, unchained to inflict pain, cripple and maim. They creep, they crawl, they seek us all, and they will until the day that darkness falls. Take a look in the mirror, take a look inside. There's a war going on, whether you realize or not. Every time there's a chance to steal, when someone makes you so damn mad you could kill them. If you will or not is what fuels the war. Do you have what you need? Do you greed for more? What would you do for money, for attention, for fame? Do you lie or deprive for your personal gain? From pride comes the need to control and use. Then control gives birth to all forms of abuse. Abuse becomes violence. Violence becomes hate. Hate opens up the gate for the evil that waits. Don't be scared. Be prepared and remember this. We're all one step away from complete darkness. Judge not lest thee be judged and become everything you despise and then some. Everyone now fight for salvation with trembling fear. Let those with ears hear, draw your children near. Teach love, preach love, live for love until the day darkness falls and God's will is fulfilled. And that's real. I'd like to just kind of keep flowing off of that. As I move into the kind of the core of this podcast, I find it to be interesting after, I would say when I was 18, I did a lot of interviews. I ended up doing a lot in the community. I was on all channels, channel 4, 5, 7, 11, 13. I was on Good Morning America, USA Today, Lisa Gibbons Show back in the 90s. All because my story, my testimony of my childhood and my teen years was obviously, I guess, noteworthy for people enough to invite me to these shows. And I always found it interesting that they would always ask me, well, what turned it all around? And, you know, not only that, you turned your life around, but then you gave back to the point of changing the community and the world. And I would always say God. And I always found it interesting that I would say that. And then they would say, okay, well, you know, kind of like, yeah, we get it. But, you know, what's the other answer? And I was like, God, you know, it was so tough because I never disconnected God from my, not only my recovery, but I never disconnected God as I was going through those things. And so it was really hard for me to kind of, you know, give them, I guess, the answer that they wanted. But here's the bottom line. I think throughout it all, what I find most interesting is that they may not want to hear that answer. But at the same time, everybody wanted to do and continues to do checks and balances on me because I claim God. And what I find to be ridiculous is this. How can someone who says they don't believe in God, or they find that God is a religion and Jesus is a religion, they have every reason why they're not doing it, or they don't want to follow that, but they keep pinpoint accuracy on everything you do. So, example, I wear hats that say Jesus Christ embroidered across the front. I wear them everywhere I go. I try to make sure I can wear them everywhere I go, except for places where, you know, you got to take your hat off or whatever, or out of respect for whatever the situation may be. But I was at the golf course once, and I'm playing golf with my, you know, a few of my dudes or whatever, my homies. And one of them, who I know and I like, you know, something comes up about Jesus Christ, and he says this. He goes, well, that's what it is, man. It's, you know, everybody who says they believe in Jesus does everything the opposite. And I said, well, do you believe in Jesus Christ and God? And he was like, oh, that's another story for another time. I said, well, then how can you say, how can you even know if someone's doing something that has to do with, or I'm saying, how do you know when someone is doing something that may not be approved of or follow the godly or Jesus Christ track if you don't do it? You know, that's like going up to, if you've never done, say, roofing before, and you walk up and there's some people doing a roof, and you yell up there, oh, you're doing that wrong, you should be fired, or you suck. How do you know? And that's what's led me to this particular series called Defenders of the Faith, because here's the deal. And I'm going to be so real today. And this is not out of anger. This is not out of, you know, I'm not trying to say that, you know, there's a separation here between who I am and who other people are. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is I'm tired of people thinking they know what I've been through. And to my other believers and people out there who know God, you know, they, people think they know what we've been through and know our struggle. And then they even think they know how God's grace came into our lives. The biggest question is, how did we go from doing this over here, you know, all of our life, part of our life or whatever, to all of a sudden not doing it anymore? It's funny. People got a name for that. Or names and labels for that. They start calling you a square or, you know, whatever they want to call you to make themselves feel better. But you could look them dead in the eye and say, yo, you don't even understand. I almost killed myself. Or I was abusing my wife. I was abusing my husband. I was abusing my kids. I was contributing to this in the world and making this part of the world bad through the things I was doing. And out of nowhere, something came upon me and pointed all this out to me enough to where I knew I had to do a 360. And here's where it gets even better, is I didn't even know how to do it. I knew years prior or months prior that I was developing an addiction to something. You don't think I sat and thought about it, but struggled with how to change it? Then out of nowhere, just boom, out of nowhere, I was able to do that. Dude, that's called grace. Some might even call it a miracle. In my life, I call it all that, because the stuff I did and the stuff I was exposed to when I was young is stuff that I don't wish on any child on this planet Earth. The struggles my mother went through, the pain that I used to see on her face, the struggles that my siblings have went through, visualizing what it would be like to be my brother who got shot in his mouth in Hawaii, gun put to his in his mouth and trigger pulled dead. You know, these are the things that people don't understand when we talk about God. See, the problem, I don't blame people. Who I blame are the people who are out here, you know, sugarcoating this thing and passing out candy to people, you know, because they don't want to talk about the realities and the pains and struggles of what it's like to turn your back on some things that controlled you for a long period of time, that made you a slave. Real change requires discipline. It requires struggle and pain. And it's like in the Bible where it describes Jesus Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane, and the Bible says that he was sweating so hard because he knew what was about to happen to him, that he sweat blood. I looked that up scientifically, and it is possible to do that under a specific amount of personal stress and crisis. Now, how many of us have been through something so deep and so hard that we sweated blood? I think anybody that could attest to that, I think it would be someone who kind of knew what was going to happen to them. Most of us don't know what's going to happen. That's why we keep doing the things that we do. And then all of a sudden, boom, when we get hit with the reality of a DUI, or boom, when we get hit with the reality of a divorce or a disease or cancer or whatever it might be, then we wake up. Now, I want to be clear. If someone wants to know, you know, about the God that I talk about, the Savior that I talk about, then let's talk. But don't use your historical data to judge me. And I'll tell you what I mean by that. I know what people have done in the name of Christianity. I know what people continue to do in the name of Christianity. But now remember, Christianity means to be Christ-like. So let's just break it down. And the whole thing about, oh, you're judging me. You know what? Here's the deal. It's interesting that if we follow the premise of what people, the sensitive part of people, and when they start saying, well, you're judging me, why are you judging me? Dude, that's all parents do while they're raising their kids. Kids do something that's opposite of what the parent wants. The parent points it out. It's not a judgment. It's called an analysis. If we don't do that, then how the heck do we even know how to navigate life? If we don't judge a situation, or if we don't want our kids to judge, make a judgment call in their lives, then they're just going to be victims to whatever is the, I guess, the higher power at that moment. We're supposed to make judgment calls. We're supposed to analyze situations so that we can make this thing called a choice. Judgment is being, the word judge is being just kind of just played like a deck of cards here just to meet somebody's feelings. Here's the bottom line. In the court system, you're accused of a crime. You go to court. There's a hearing to talk about potential facts. There's testimonies. There's declarations. And potentially there's a trial with the jury. And then finally, the judge drops the gavel. Either guilty or not guilty. The judgment on guilty would be whatever by law is in place, and they've set the framework around it based on what you've been found guilty of, and you go do your time. That's judgment. It's wrong for anybody that claims they're following Christ to judge people. And what I mean by that is to do a final judgment, like, this is what you are, and you're going to hell. And man, that's all drama, man. That stuff, that's not God. That's not a Christian. But what we can do, and what, it's funny, if you don't know the Bible or don't know this, I'm going to school everybody on this right now. And I love reminding myself, because I didn't know this before in my life, is this. The Bible even instructs believers to check each other. In other words, the Bible instructs me to check my brother or my sister, but it also instructs them to check me. Going back to what I said about 5 minutes ago about at the golfer. Bro, don't come at me if you don't even know nothing about God and his word, and then tell me how I'm supposed to be acting. That's a contradictory moment. I need to stand up for myself today and stand up for people who are struggling to maintain some sense of righteousness in their life. Why is that wrong? And how, why would someone want to pick that apart? I want to point this out. I had a conversation with a friend of mine the other day, and I was amped. And the reason I get amped is because, man, when you struggle to overcome something, man, it's a celebration. It's a celebratory moment. It's like your spirit becomes renewed. Your life becomes renewed. And the Bible tells us it's called being born again. And people have, oh, he's born again. They're born again. You know what it really means? It means that I was born into a world full of thousands of things that would make me do things the opposite of God's will for myself and for the world. And those things are simple. And it's funny that those same things are the same things that man has set laws for and there are consequences for. For instance, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not covet, thou shalt not commit adultery. Let me say that in human terms. Yo, if you steal, you're going to jail. Parents tell their kids not to steal all the time. Next, thou shalt not kill. We have murder is considered the highest form of crime on the earth in terms of the legal system. God said it too. So I don't know how that's any different. Thou shalt not covet. Covetous basically is wanting something someone else has so bad that your mind is now plotting a way to get it. We know where that can lead to. All sorts of things. Stealing, killing, and so on and so forth. So how is that commandment from God any different from the rules that man has in place? Lastly, and this isn't the final commandment, but don't commit adultery. Wow, that would be pretty cool as if everyone who got married didn't cheat on their husband or wife. But how come when God says it, it's religious, but when man says it, it's not? See, I'm going to say this. And I'm saying this to back up all God's people. And I'm not talking about the fake ones. And people may say, well, that's a judgment. Nah, see, the difference is when you struggle in something in life, so pick anything. Pick like being a single mother, for instance, and you're trying to raise a few kids, and then you look over and here's this lady who's pregnant and she's complaining or whatever. You might look at her and say, hey, look, stop all that complaining. Get ready, because this is going to be a beautiful thing, but you're going to have to fight and struggle through that process right there. That woman has kind of the right to say that. Why? She has experience times three, and she's actually being supportive, trying to get the woman through the pregnancy. But how they might take it, who knows? But here's the deal. Shouldn't it make someone feel good knowing that because of my belief and conviction in the Lord and in God, that they don't have to worry about me trying to sneak up behind their back and try to flirt with their wife? They don't have to worry about me robbing their house, messing with their children, slandering their name, you know, doing all these things, because I'll tell you why. It's not because of me. It's because I'm saved. God changed me. I didn't reach out to God and say, God, hook me up today because I want to run around and yell and scream and holler about God and Jesus and then turn around and do everything opposite of what you want me to do. That's not what I did. Matter of fact, I sometimes it's a blur. I don't even remember the exact day and time it all really turned around. I remember God always, but I don't remember the exact moment where my entire mind and spirit changed. All I know is it happened and I didn't have control over it. And I know another thing, this world sure in the hell did not want me to change. Because misery loves company, people. Why do you think on Sundays you want to go watch the football game with other people? It's funner. You cheer, you eat, you know. In a more negative sense, you know, nobody wants to drink alone except for George Thorogood. And people out there might know what I'm talking about. But excuse me. I'm just trying to point out that we can all fall victim of analyzing something to the point to where we feel like we know what that person should or shouldn't be doing. We can all do that. I think it's in our nature to kind of analyze and kind of position ourselves, you know, within groups or whatever. You know, we've all discriminated. I think most of us still do discriminate. And the only thing that can block that is understanding what love is all about and understanding what the Bible says when it talks about check the speck in your own eye before you judge the plank in your brother or sister's eye. And what that means is they might have all these problems you think they have, but even if you have a speck of a problem in your own life, you need to be working on yourself. So I guess the premise here is this. I'm not going to sit back and take hits. I'll do what the Bible says. You know, if you want to slap me, then here comes, slap my other cheek too. But if that's your only approach to getting what you want is to slap me, get it over with and move on. But if you want to know this thing called God, this Jesus Christ, Son of God, and how it's actually real in my life, let's have a conversation. But don't spend all your time trying to denounce God and disprove God when you know nothing about God. It's always interesting to me why people spend so much, people will even go and study just to try to disprove God or, you know, follow that path of, well, see this, see that. And I'm like, why don't you put that much time into finding out the truth about God? Not this skewed version or bad experience that you might have had. A lot of people have had terrible experiences that they call bad experiences with God. And in reality, those experiences are with people. Because if you had an experience with God, then you wouldn't be doubting he was real. The problem is, a lot of us are raised by quote-unquote religious parents who then model non-godly things. So we begin to see God as the problem, not the parents or not the activities of sin that happen among humans. The Bible says God does not tempt, nor can he be tempted by evil. So the question is, why do we continuously blame God for things people are doing? Why do we say, God, please stop this from happening or stop that from happening? And God's answer is, I already set this whole thing in motion. I gave you free will. If you want me to stop this, then I'd have to press rewind and go all the way back to Cain when I knew he was going to kill his brother. Furthermore, I would have to go back and say to Satan, yo, and press the pause button, because he's the father of all of it. There's a lot that we need to know before we start, you know, blaming and talking about God and I've had a bad experience with God and religion and all. Okay, stop, because here's the deal. As a Christian man who is saved, I bear the responsibility. That's part of the responsibility of bearing the cross, is being willing to accept when we aren't living the way God wants us to, and we acknowledge it, and we're willing to set that forth into the world and say, yes, here's the problem. People wait for a Christian to screw up just so they can say, what God? That doesn't prove anything. Matter of fact, you're being tricked if you even think that you're going to find perfection in a human being, because that would mean you have an idea of perfection. Then why aren't you being perfect? Now, this might sound like an attack. I haven't mentioned anybody specific. I'm talking to a population of people that we already know exists. But I'm also talking to a population of people who also know that God does exist. He's real and he's active in their lives. We are responsible for telling the truth. We're responsible for testifying about God, but in a real way, not in a way that makes us look like we're better than, or we found something better, or God favors us more. Okay, the bottom line is, no one should ever know if you're favored more, because that's between you and God anyway. If God puts you in a position to do something, you do it and you get ready to accept the hits. Historically in the Bible, there's plenty of examples of those people. But what people miss is that a lot of these people were scared to death to do God's will. You can start with, you know, Abraham to Jonah, you know, to, you know, John the Baptist. All these people expressed Moses. You know, he was told, take your staff, you and Aaron, take the staff, put it in the river, and it's going to turn to blood. Could you imagine that really happening? And you're walking up on the most powerful man on earth, the Pharaoh, and you're up there just don't know. And you even say, God, I don't even know what to say. And he tells you, don't worry about it. I'll tell you what to say when you get there. You know, these are serious moments that we're supposed to learn from. They're not there so we can tell some kind of little fairy tale to our kids. We're supposed to teach the realness of those situations. But ultimately, God is the one who prevailed. I want people to understand ultimately here on this intro to this Defenders of the Faith podcast is that we can look at people all we want and point out faults and everything, but don't ever forget how we were before we were saved. And guess what? We still got faults. The difference is we're supposed to have the conviction and the faith in God to help us every day do our best to do his will. And that's what people will see in us. And for non-believers out there, try to do me and everybody a favor. Rather than judge us like you say you're being judged, why don't you seek what might have changed us. And remember, I feel like we all need to start looking at the truth about God. When we do God's will, we automatically love each other. We automatically do unto one another as ourselves. Doesn't that sound kind of cool? To not have to worry about someone doing something to you, like murder, steal, rape, covet. It's kind of cool to me. I want to say God bless everyone today. I want to say let's build hope in this world. Let's bind this thing called love and truth so that we can stop calling this person white and that person black and that person this and that person that. And, you know, let's start looking at each other like humans, finally, and skip all this rhetoric and get down to what it's really all about. Love one another as we love ourselves. And as we do that, find out more and more each day what love really is. And love is God. Truth Pandemic 2022, Defenders of the Faith intro. God bless you. We'll see you next time.